your truth. And Father, I pray that for those who are standing before you who don't know about your Holy Spirit but want everything that you have for them, I pray that you would baptize them in your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that tonight that the gifts of the Spirit that you have given would be stirred up in our hearts and that we would know what you've given us. And then, Lord, it would be just the beginning of a new season with you in learning how to not just walk in the Spirit, but be used by your Holy Spirit with these gifts. And we look to you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. It is encouraging to see you here tonight and your interest and hunger for the things of the Lord and to know about the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit are something we all should know about. I am not you already know this, but I'm not a scholar, I'm not a theologian, I am not an expert at all. Really when it comes to anything, but when it comes to our topic tonight, which is the gifts of the Spirit. I have read the Bible over and over and over and over again for the past 38 years, I think it's been. I've studied it. I have listened to teachings on the gifts of the Spirit, and I have seen the gifts of the Spirit move and operate within the body of Christ since I was a brand new Christian, and I've experienced them in my own life. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're not already there. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We'll also be in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, because those also talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, Paul, who's writing to the believers at Corinth, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant." So as Christians, God does not want us to be ignorant or unknowing or uninformed concerning spiritual gifts. So that's why we're here tonight. I'm going to share from the Word. I'm going to share from my own experiences and along with some, hopefully, some practical illustrations that will help us understand the gifts of the Spirit and then maybe help us recognize them in our own lives. In this room, we have quite a few women and younger women, and every single one of us has a different background and a different religious or spiritual background. There are those who have come from a very conservative Christian background. So perhaps you're one of them, and you were went to church, and the church you went to, or your belief in your family, or whatever it might be, didn't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. It was something that happened in the Bible. It was something for the early church, but it doesn't happen today. Or some people believe, well, some of the gifts happen today, but not all of the gifts happen today. And if you've been around long enough to hear Damien teach on that, you know that he came from that Christian background, where the church he was growing up in did not believe in spiritual gifts. So he's a kid, he learns this, and that's what you learn. You get scared to death, because kind of that's my opinion here, but it's a fear thing of why we don't want to believe in them. And so he went through his own discovery. He didn't want to believe in them, but he studied the Bible. And as he studied it, he couldn't help but believe, okay, therefore today. So he has shared that before. And then you have the other extreme where it's the Pentecostal background where maybe you grew up or attended a church like that where everybody's speaking in tongues and running around and having prophecies and all of these things, and maybe it's chaotic, maybe it's a little weird or whatever, and maybe that was just who you were and that's what you're comfortable with, and you know, you think if a church doesn't do that, then they're dead, or maybe you think, no thank you, I don't want a part of that, I don't want the Holy Spirit's gifts because I'm going to look like an idiot walking around or hanging from the ceiling or barking or doing whatever. So, you know, there's all kinds of backgrounds. And then there are those of us, I'm one of them, who have absolutely no spiritual background. None at all. You never went to church. No, I didn't ever went to church. I didn't know. I thought the Holy Spirit was the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost was Catholic. And that's all I knew about it. And so when I got saved, which Damien and I got saved about the same time in the same church, where he was hesitant, I was like, okay, just tell me what the Bible says, and it sounds good to me, kind of a thing. So I kind of think that's the easy way to go, because you have no prior knowledge whatsoever or experience, so you just don't have any kind of an issue. So while we're talking about this, and there's a lot, which is why we're doing a part two in a few weeks, and it'll be just a continuation of this. But if you have questions, and you probably are going to have questions, I still have questions. And I talked to Damien about, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know. So you're going to have questions. If you have questions that you want to ask, would you just write them down so you don't forget? And then at the end, maybe we can do a little question-answer time. Not that I have all the answers, but I will certainly try to give them. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter. I'm just pulling out the verses on the particular gifts. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 and then verse 11 in the New Living Translation because it's kind of easy to understand. So you can follow along with me. Paul said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I like that translation. So we see from those verses that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives spiritual gifts to us. We also see that He gives each one, did you notice that? Each one, at least one spiritual gift. So you have a spiritual gift, probably more than one, whether you know it or not, or acknowledge it or not. You do. And so if you don't know what your spiritual gift or gifts are, then hopefully by the end of the evening, maybe they'll be identified to you. And you go, oh, that's what it is. Okay, then how do I use this gift? Which is part two. So you have to come back on that one. We also see that the purpose of Him giving us these spiritual gifts in verse 7 says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, or it's for the profit of all. They are for the body of Christ. They're not given for us to keep them to ourselves. They are given to us so that we can help one another. So each of us has, again, one, at least one spiritual gift, and we are to use that gift in a way that's going to help the person next to you, behind you, the people you see on Sundays, Sunday night, Sunday mornings, at VBS, on Wednesday nights, all through the week, for the body of Christ. Because they build up the body of Christ. So, verses 8 through 10 list the gifts in this chapter. Again, there are more in Romans, and we'll get into that. So, I'm just going to kind of quickly go through each gift so that we know what they are and then how they are manifested. Okay? So, in verse 8, I'm just going to read through first. One is given the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom is a spiritual gift through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. A word of knowledge is a spiritual gift. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Faith is a spiritual gift. It's not saving faith. This is a gift of faith, and I'll explain that in a minute. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, not gift of healer. There is no gift of healer. It's gifts of healings, which means, guess what? When you receive a healing, guess what gift you got? The gift of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So, word of wisdom is the first one listed. A word of wisdom is wisdom beyond what we learn in life. You know, you gain wisdom by experience. You gain wisdom by learning from other people. You gain wisdom when you read the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom, God's wisdom. And so those are just like lifetime learning of wisdom and gaining wisdom and making good decisions based on this godly wisdom. That's not the kind of wisdom we're talking about. It's a gift of wisdom. It's like, I don't know what to do. I know what this says. I know what this person says. This person says. And then maybe all of a sudden, if you receive this gift, he gives you a clear word of wisdom. This is what you are to do in this situation. And it's like the light goes on. And it's so obvious. But so obvious because the Holy Spirit just gave that gift. In Acts chapter 15, biblical example, that the preaching of the gospel went out to the Gentiles. They were getting saved. And some of the Jews, some of the leaders were saying, okay, but you're saved, but you still have to be circumcised. You still have to act like a Jew. We know you're saved by faith, but you got to still do these things. And so there was a big dispute that went on, and all the elders came to Jerusalem, and the apostles and the elders, and the Jerusalem council, and they had this big meeting, and all these men, you know, these godly spiritual leaders. And they all had an opinion, well, this and that and this and that. And, you know, you're listening to these godly men who've walked with the Lord and who know the scriptures and everything, and everybody's kind of got a well, yeah, the three of them say this, but the two of them said this, and the guy says this, and, you know, and they all sound right. They all sound good, and they all sound right. I mean, you've probably been in situations like that before. I mean, I certainly have. You've been in a meeting or something, it's like, okay, you're all right, you're all wrong. I just, you know, I don't know. But then at that time, James stood up with a word of wisdom from God. And he said, this is what we're to do. This is what we're to tell the Gentiles. They don't have to be circumcised, but they do need to do a few things. You know, they need to abstain from blood. They need to abstain from sexual immorality and, you know, stay away from things offered from idols. So when he spoke, it was like, well, yeah, of course, that's it. And that's a word of wisdom. So all these gifts are a supernatural, natural expression. You know, there's just a peace with them. And there's no striving. within a church body, because these gifts are given to the prophet of the body, then God gives pastors and leaders this gift of wisdom, the board of directors, so they can lead the church and they know the right decisions. What do we do in this situation? This money came in. How do we distribute that? Those kind of decisions, or a problem or something, those kind of decisions that humans, you just can't make. They're just too big. It's just too confusing. But then God gives that word of wisdom, and then it's just like, yeah, it's settled. It's right. It's wonderful to experience and see. And like I said, I mean, I have been in meetings, and it's just like everybody sounds right. And then we all don't think that sounds right. And yet, sometimes for me as a leader, I'm unsettled. It's like, it sounds good. It sounds right, but it's not sitting right with me. And then the Lord, whether he will give it to me or somebody else. And it's like, yep, that's it. That's what we're supposed to do. Perhaps that's happened to you. And maybe you didn't know, oh, he just gave me a word of wisdom. The next one is a word of knowledge. That one is knowing something that you cannot know other than the Holy Spirit telling you. Okay, so it's knowledge that you didn't overhear, you didn't, you know, read about or see or whatever. It's just like you just know, all of a sudden know some piece of information that you could not have known. And he just gives you that gift and tells you. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, where the church was early church and it was exploding and everybody was excited and they're selling all their land and everything, and they're going to, you know, kind of come together and share everything. And so they're selling it, and, you know, $100, and I'm giving the church $100. Well, we sold this for 50, we're going to give you 50, you know, all that. Well, Ananias came in, and he sold the land for $100, and he said, I'm giving you all that I sold it for, here's $75. That's a lie. Now, how would Peter know that? Peter, there's no way Peter could know that. And Peter said, why are you lying to God? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? How did he know that? Because the Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge. I mean, it's just plain and simple. There's no way he could know that. So sometimes the word of knowledge is also given through a vision. Now, as we also see in the book of Acts, I mean, the book of Acts is full. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's full of the gifts of the Spirit. Acts chapter 9, when Saul had his conversion experience on the Damascus Road, blinded, went into the town and waited, and God had told him, just wait. And then a different Ananias was minding his own business, and he has this vision and word of knowledge that Saul is here, he's blinded, and this is what I want you to do, and you go do it. How did he know he was there? How did he know he was blind? How did he know anything? He could not have known that. It's the Holy Spirit simply telling him and using him to go and restore Paul's sight and to further share with him. Same thing happened in Acts chapter 10, where Peter was in Joppa and Cornelius was in Caesarea. And Cornelius had a vision, and the Lord spoke to him, Peter's over in Joppa, go call for him. You know, how does he know? But God told him. The Holy Spirit gave him that word of knowledge. Peter, he's just minding his own business on the rooftop, got a little tired, he goes to sleep, he has a vision of the, you know, the sheet coming down and all of that. And then after that, he's like, okay, what was that? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. There's men at your door. And this is who they're from, and this is what you are supposed to do. Now, how would Peter know that? He can't know that. It's a gift of the word of a word of knowledge. Paul was on a ship at the end of the book of Acts, and they were going to be shipwrecked. And he said, I perceive. He didn't say, God told me, he said, you know, I perceive, I'm getting a sense of that this voyage is going to end in disaster. And then God gives him a word of wisdom with it. We must run aground on a certain island, and unless everybody stays on board, you're going to die. You can't be saved. So Paul, I mean, these are experienced ship people, whatever they're called. And Paul's the one that says, this is what's going to happen. Now, how does he know? And if you don't do this, this is what will happen. But if you do this, this is what will happen. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in an afterglow setting, and, you know, afterglow is just our time of waiting on the Lord, and the gifts of the Spirit operate. A lot of times, you might hear someone say, well, the Lord is speaking to me that somebody here just had a car wreck, and you're worried about the insurance, and it was your fault, and you don't have money to cover it or whatever. Okay, now, how would anybody know that sitting there? It's a word of knowledge. Then a word of wisdom would be, this is what you are supposed to do, and whatever it might be. So in daily life, the way I have experienced this as in a word of knowledge is that there have been times, and I didn't know what it was. There have been times in my life where the Lord will tell me something, and Damien, it works in his life very similar. Tell us something, certain information about whatever it might be. And you just kind of go, well, that's a little weird. I don't know why I'm thinking that. And until it happens, you really don't know. I mean, this might sound totally unspiritual to you, but you really don't know. But then after it happens, you go, well, that was a word of knowledge. You know, it's so simple that, and we complicate it because we think we have to be so spiritual that, wait, yes, I'm getting a word of knowledge, you know? No, are you kidding me? We don't know until it's over. And then it's like, oh, I mean, it just happened to me the other day. And I was driving somewhere and the Lord told me something that was going to happen. Yeah, well, okay, whatever, that's just kind of weird. You know, you just think it's you, right? And then it happened. And then I realized, okay, that obviously that was the Lord. It's not just me, because by the time I got to where I was going, my heart, I had time to process, and my heart had time to know what to do, because he's telling me. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a simple daily, day-to-day thing, that how the Lord uses that gift. I think a lot of times, you know, we call it a mother's intuition. I mean, you know, there have been times, and I'm sure some of you moms, where you just know this child is in trouble doing something that they shouldn't be doing. How do you know that? Is it just because you're suspicious all the time and whatever? Could be, but perhaps it isn't. Perhaps it is simply the Lord giving you a word of knowledge to intervene, to help them, to steer them, whatever it might be. Just kind of a heads up in preparation. Can also work where the Lord gives you a word of knowledge for someone, and you share that with a friend. And sometimes I've seen it happen, and they don't even know what's happening. They're just saying, well, this is blah, 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 blah. And the friend receives that, and it's not until after again that you realize, well, that was the Lord. I mean, this is how we learn and how we grow. The gift of faith is next. This is not saving faith. It's beyond that. It is a supernatural gift of faith. Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal were sacrificing, and then he built the altar, and then he put the, you know, dug the trench around, and he put the sacrifice on there, and he poured the water, and he poured the water, and then poured the water over it, knowing with faith, this gift of faith, because if we did that, we would say, that's all wet, and it can't burn. He had the gift of faith of the Lord is going to consume this sacrifice. That is a gift of faith. Peter was at the gate, and the lame man was sitting there begging for money. And Peter looked at him with the gift of faith and said, stand up and walk. I don't know that we would do that without the gift of faith, right? But if you have the gift of faith, that means there's no doubt. When we step out in faith, which we are called to do, we live by faith and we grow in our faith, we step out in faith, maybe you don't, but I do, and I'm doubting a little bit. But I'm going to do it anyway, Lord. But I'm a little afraid here, but I'm going to do it because I'm trusting you. Oh, yes, I am, you know, and we step out. The gift of faith is, hey, I'm going to walk on this water. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, no, this is a supernatural gift of faith that you know, that you know, that you know. Paul did on the ship, too. I mean, God gave him the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, but he knew. It looks like this ship is going to wreck and everybody's going to die, but if you stay on this ship, you will be saved. And he believed that without a doubt. I know the Lord gave me a gift of faith when we moved to Modesto to start our church here. That's a scary thing to do. You quit your job. You have no income. Zero. No support. You don't know anybody. Nothing. I was perfectly fine. I don't think Damien had the gift of faith. He stepped out on faith. But he and his faith really grew through that. But I was like, no, God doesn't do this and then have us die down here. He doesn't do that. He's going to take care of us. He's going to, you know, I look back on that and think, oh, man, were you stupid or what? But now it's the gift of faith. I don't want to do that today, you know. Quit, go somewhere with nothing. I don't, you know, please give me that gift of faith. The Lord has given me a promise for my husband. He did at one time. And I have no doubt that will happen. That's a gift of faith. That is not because I am so full of faith. No, I know. I'm very well aware. This is just weird. You're not doubting. Okay, this is, you know, it's a gift of faith. The gifts of healings. So once again, there's no gift of healer. Although God uses people to pray for people, and he certainly used Peter and Paul and other apostles and people in the book of Acts to lay hands on people to pray for them to be healed. The book of Acts is full of healings. Of course, Jesus healed all the time. Sometimes healings can be instant, and that's what we want, right? That when we see a gift of healing, we want it to be boom, you know, the miracle healing kind of a thing. But it really does seem that the majority of them are not, especially in our Western culture. I think we're all too intelligent. We have too much knowledge. We have too much everything here. And so we just have a lack of faith and we doubt. Whereas in other countries where they're not as educated and all of that, then they just, of course, you just pray for a healing. Who else is going to heal you kind of a thing? And they might see more instantaneous healings, miracles, and that type of thing. But sometimes it can be instantaneously. Sometimes it can be over time. Sometimes it can be through doctors, through medicine, whatever it might be. God is the healer of our bodies. And I think any time we are healed, it is a gift of healing. I do remember one of our early afterglows. And when Damien and I got saved, we immediately started going to church 3 to 4 times a week. Every time there was, the two Sunday morning, Sunday night, they had a Wednesday night. We went to a home fellowship. I went to ladies study and then a Bread of Life study. And about the second or third week, they had monthly afterglows. And we went to an afterglow. And, Damien was like waiting for something to happen. And I'm just like, wow, this is so weird. But it feels right, And we heard and saw just about every spiritual gift operate the first time. I mean, that those days and those afterglows, there was word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, healings, visions, all of these gifts operating in a very normal and decently and in order environment. And so it was just like, okay, what you walked in, what's God going to say? We know he's going to do something. And one of the elders said, I believe the Lord wants to heal somebody who has this, a problem with their hand. Immediately I knew that was me. And because I'd been dealing with this, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, it was this hand thing. And so I went back. I said, that's me. And they, we got a healing here, come on. And they're all excited and prayed for me. And it's like over the next few days, went away. It's fine. I experienced that. It was like, wow, this is great. I like this Christian thing here. This is really good. The next is miracles. Again, the book of Acts is full of miracles. Peter and the lame man, that was faith, that was the gifts of healing, and that was a miracle. Later in Acts chapter 9, Peter raises Dorcas from the dead, or Peter didn't, but God did through him. There's a miracle happened. Paul, at the end of the book of Acts, he was doing the fire thing with the wood and this poisonous snake attached to his arm, or his hand or whatever, and he shakes it off. They're all waiting for him to die, and miracle. Didn't bother him at all. He didn't even get sick at all. That's a miracle. And again, maybe we don't see many miracles today because we're too intellectual. We can explain it away. And we're not ready for it. But God can do humongous miracles, and then he does little ones all the time. Do we, pray that you see God's hand in doing these miracles? I've shared on a Wednesday night before about my popcorn ball miracle, and nobody can minimize my popcorn ball miracle that I saw with my eyes. I did not have enough popcorn balls for my Sunday school class. I counted over and over and over again and counted the kids and talked to the aide and the whole everything, and I felt terrible because one kid wasn't going to get a popcorn ball, And so I just prayed and passed them out. Every kid got a popcorn ball. Every kid. I did not miscount. That is a miracle. He cares about all those little things. Those kids, you better believe I told them, I'm sorry, we're not going to have enough popcorn balls. Praise God, we've got all these popcorn balls. Everybody's got, Whether they remember that to this day, I have no idea. But it's a miracle. I got to witness. Prophecy. That means to speak forth. It doesn't mean you are like a fortune teller kind of person that tells the future. A prophecy, it means to speak forth God's word or God's message to others. It can also mean to foretell something that's going to happen. But what I have seen in the body of Christ, it is just God speaking to us. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, it says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation and comfort. That's what prophecy is. It's going to build up the body of Christ or the person. It's going to stir them up, and it's going to lift them up. It's going to be edifying. It's going to be encouraging. It can have a warning with it. It can be God's word. A lot of times in an afterglow, you will hear a lot of scripture being read, a lot of verses being read, and it's God's word, and that is wonderful and fine, but that doesn't mean every person who's reading a verse is giving a prophecy. That doesn't mean that at all. It means a lot of times I thought of a verse, and I'm going to share that verse, and it's fine, and that, you know, again, it's fine. But when the gift of prophecy is being used and operated, if it is a verse and you hear that verse, it's like, okay, God just spoke. There is a gift to it. There is an anointing to that when that person speaks out. Or they can speak out a verse and then speak out whatever God has placed on their heart, given them that prophecy to say. So if you read a verse in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. A prophecy would be, and you can say it however you say it. So if I was given a prophecy and I said, be still and know that I am God, God wants you to know that you're restless and you need to calm down, because he has it all under control and he's going to take care of you. I can say it that way, or I can say, I want you to stop being restless. I want you to trust in me. See that? See the difference? As Lord speaking or me speaking. Same thing. It's the same thing. It just depends on the person, how they express the gift, and all of that. So it can be God's word. It can be the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, your mind, prompting you to share something like that, that's going to build up, stir up, lift up in an afterglow or among a group of people in your ladies' study group or with an individual. It doesn't mean that when you operate that gift, the lights have to be dimmed and everybody has to be quiet, and now the Lord is going to speak. It doesn't mean that at all. You can be in a ladies' study group, and you can be having your discussion, and you know the Lord really wants you to say whatever it is that he's sharing with you, and then you speak forth. That can be a prophecy. So it's really, these gifts are very used in a very natural way. So sometimes we don't recognize that they are flowing out of us and we're being used by the Lord. A lot of times the Lord gives the gift of prophecy along with the gift of teaching, not always, but you know when it's happening. Well, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, even as a teacher, that the Lord is speaking forth through the teacher. You put your message together, you're giving forth God's word, so it is a message from him. But there can be also a gift of prophecy along with that. And that's when on Sunday mornings, and Damien's speaking, and then all of a sudden he says something, and you can feel the silence in the room, because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not him teaching us. It is the Holy Spirit speaking into the hearts of people. And it's powerful when that happens that way. Again, in my early afterglows, it was just very normal to hear that throughout the afterglow. In fact, very few scriptures were read. They were all just words from the Lord. And I remember very early on sitting there, and, you know, you're listening and you're praying and you're worshiping, and then having this phrase, this message on my heart from the Lord. But you're brand new. I don't know what's going on. You know, all I know is all I'm getting really hot right now, and my heart is beating. Why would it do that? I was perfectly fine, and then I thought of this thing. Now my heart is beating. Why would that happen? And, you know, the lady that was sitting next to me, she was one of the assistant pastor's wives, and yeah, I said, you know, she said, but it's the gift of prophecy. Speak it out. Are you sure? Yes. You know, how do you know it isn't me? Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Yeah, it's not you. Okay, you know, so I shared it. And then as you use your gifts, then you recognize them more. And then you're not as afraid or timid to then use them. And then you learn to hear the Lord's voice more. And I absolutely love that gift, and I love that. I remember also early on, I know exactly where we were, and we were still in Napa, we weren't here, and where we were in our house, and Damien and I were, we were sitting on the floor, but I was sitting on his lap looking at him, and we were just talking, and the Lord gave me something to say to him. And I just remember looking at him and speaking this, and he's looking at me like, okay, what happened to my wife, you know? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not like it's a weird thing. There's a power. There is an anointing. There is a presence of the Holy Spirit when that gift is being operated. And, I'll never forget that. That was a nice thing. Discerning of spirits. We're supposed to be wise as Christians. We learn. We're all supposed to be discerning. And again, if you read the book of Proverbs, and you're gaining this wisdom from Proverbs, you're going to be a discerning people. And we need to grow in our discernment so we're not gullible and we're not naive and we're not ignorant. We need to grow in discernment so we know right from wrong. We know the truth from a lie. Okay, so all of us need to be discerning and grow in discernment, but there's a gift of discerning of spirits. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was preaching the gospel, and this young girl's following him as a cheerleader. This is Paul. Listen to him. He's bringing forth the gospel. God wants to save. Everything that she was saying was right. She looked right. She said it was right. But Paul had a check in his spirit. The gift of discerning of spirits, and he turned around and rebuked the demon in her. He knew this is a demonic spirit speaking. This is not her. And there's three spirits working in this world. There is God's spirit, there is the human fleshly spirit, and there's a demonic spirit. And at times, Satan comes to us as an angel of light. And this gift is needed within the body of Christ so that the leaders, pastor, the other leaders can be discerning and know when there's somebody coming in to the within the body that's saying all the right things and looking fine and everybody just loves them, there's something not right here. And that's the gift of discerning of spirits. So sometimes, if you have this gift, if it's ever, you know, been given to you, where you can talk to somebody and it's like, boy, they just sound great and everything, but I'm getting a big check in my spirit over this. That has happened to me before. I have, and it's just kind of, it's weird because it's like, am I the only one that is seeing this? Because everyone else seems to love and follow this person. And I'm praying them out because I can't identify it. I can't confront a person because I don't know what it is. I just know that I want you to go away and not bother anybody that I know and love in this place. You know, and God, it's a protection for the body that God gives this gift to pastors, to leaders, to protect the flock. And sometimes nobody sees it, and maybe they never will, or maybe it'll be years later where it's like, okay, I'm glad that happened there and not here. The gift of tongues, which is the gift that everybody's confused about and controversy and all of that. I'm so thankful I didn't have a background. So I just went, oh, yeah, okay. So 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but they speak to God. No one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries because it is a language that is foreign to us. It's just like if you went to another country and you're standing there hearing people speak and you have no clue what they're saying. No clue whatsoever. The gift of tongues is like that. So it does something to our intelligence. You know, it bypasses that. So it's really hard for people because that doesn't make sense. Why would I say that? I don't know what that means. So it doesn't make sense. So I can't believe that. I've seen people acting very strange with that gift. So I don't believe that gift. In some circles, you will hear somebody speak out in tongues, and then they give a message from God. But in right here in the Bible, it says that you're not speaking to men. You're speaking to God. This is me talking to God. It's you talking to God. It's not God talking to us. It is a tongues or a prayer language, as a lot of people call it, because it's between me and the Lord. And I'm speaking to him. He's not speaking to me. That's prophecy. Tongues is me speaking to him. We see in 14 verses 14 through 16, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the result? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing in the spirit and also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? So tongues, as I'm speaking to God, I'm giving thanks. I'm giving praise. I'm giving worship. Earlier, Paul says, you know, he talks about praying. So a lot of people say, okay, it can be prayer or praise. It is never God speaking to us. We are speaking to him. It is the one gift that is a personal gift. It's not necessarily for the body, unless there's an interpretation, because what's the point? So you hear somebody speak out in tongues. Great. We don't know what you said. That's not edifying to me. It could be a little weird to me. But if there's an interpretation, oh, that's wonderful. So it's a private gift, because when you use that, I use it, I have no clue what I'm saying. I just know that it's right and it's good. But I haven't been given the interpretation for what I'm saying, but I know it's praise and worship to the Lord. So the first time I heard tongues, it was one of those early afterglows, I heard the interpretation. It was just natural. You know, the person that spoke out in tongues, as Paul says, pray that you would interpret. And they just gave the interpretation. A few other times I heard it. I still have this friend. She was amazing. She just said, I feel like the Lord wants me to sing in my prayer language. I'd never heard that before. Like, okay. It was amazing. It's like, how are you making that up? You can't. It's the Lord, you know? Then she sang the interpretation right after that. It was absolutely beautiful. It was peaceable. It was, everybody was worshiping. And so it, for me, it was like, wow, this is great. I would like this gift. In fact, I went up to the pastor, to, said, you know, pray for me because I want to receive the gifts. Well, which one do you want to pray for? I want all of them. I don't know. Tell me, you know, he can just give me whatever. So I had prayed for this gift of tongues and struggled with it because I'm hearing, you know, if you hear something, it's like, okay, no, that's ridiculous. I am making that up. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I know that there are other settings where everybody gathers around a person and they're all praying in their prayer language so this person feels released and they can pray in their prayer language. That doesn't work with me. It's like, that is noise. You guys are really distracting me. So I'm in my room, you know, trying to get this prayer language. And I was at a retreat, and I felt like the Lord gave me a very short. It's not this big, long paragraph. It's very short. All right. It doesn't really sound good. But I mean, I'm just very... Well, I was 21. I was just very not smart, okay? You just like, I don't know, everything's new to me. So it's like, okay, I think that's my prayer language. Okay, then I'll use it. And, you know, when I talk to a few of the women to help me out, and you got to use it, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But I just struggled with it. I just didn't know if I had it or not. So probably a year later, and I'm, you know, not using it because I'm embarrassed. Nobody's around, and I'm embarrassed. It's just ridiculous. So I said to Lord, could I have another one? would you just show me? Anyway, he's so gracious. He is so gracious. And he gave me a different prayer language. And I thought, boy, I better not complain about this. I'm receiving this. And I will use this, and I have ever since. And I didn't use it a lot. He's never had me speak it out at an afterglow, and I've actually asked him, please don't make me do that. And but I use that in desperate times. It just flows out because you have no words to pray, to worship, and it just flows out. And it brought an intimacy that I didn't have before with the Lord. The freer I became to use that, there's a deeper intimacy, and now it just flows out. You know, in worship services, in between songs, I stop singing. I'm under my breath in my prayer language. It's just, it's very special to me. It's also, again, it's private to me. It's like, don't anybody ever ask me to say it out loud. I've been with people and they've said, say your prayer language out loud. And they'll say their prayer language out loud. I'm like, that's like, okay, this is a really stupid thing to say. But it would be like you asking me to look at my underwear drawer. That's how personal it is. I'm not going to show you my underwear drawer. You know, I don't know. Maybe you don't mind people looking in your underwear drawer, but that's very personal to me. And so it's like, I am like this. Now, sometimes if you're sitting next to me, you might hear something under my breath, but I'm, you know, it's mine. It's between us. So this interpretation of tongues, you if you're going to do that publicly, you need the interpretation. I don't know how many times Damien will stress that, and somebody apparently doesn't hear that part of it, and they'll speak out in tongues. And again, it's like he said, it's just noise. It's just noise. Let's get the interpretation. And again, it'll be either prayer or praise. I'm giving examples from my life just so I have examples, because I'm not bragging or I'm not whatever. You know what I'm saying. I hope you know what I'm saying. So years ago on 10th and F, when we had an afterglow, and
Did I already say this?
Okay. I might have been saying it in my mind as I was remembering it and talking to the Lord about it. We got in Africa, it was a wonderful worship time, and you know, you're just like worshiping the Lord, and it was wonderful. And then somebody just started praying out loud in tongues, in their prayer language. And the worship is welling up in me, and as soon as they stopped, I gave the interpretation. Scared me to death. I thought, what is that? You know, but I knew that was the interpretation. I knew that it was from the Lord. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. But I walked away from that. I'm just being really honest with you. I walked away from that and I thought, man, I hope that never happens again. This is way too much pressure. Because now people are going to know, well, she has a gift of interpretation, so I can speak out my prayer language. She, you know, this is all what goes on in my head. You know, so it's like, oh, don't let anybody speak out in tongues tonight. I don't know the interpretation. I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't, you know. So I have such faith. But he has had me. He's given me that gift a few more times, but I don't like to. It's just way too much pressure. Over in verse 28, he then gives two more gifts that he didn't list in those other verses. The gift of helps in verse 28, he speaks of. And that means to take by the hand. It means to make it easier for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. What an incredible gift this is in the body of Christ. Helps. To take by the hand. I'm going to make it easier for the body of Christ, this individual or this group of people, by offering my services and my resources. And people, I do not have this gift. I help people, but it's not a gift. It's not my first response where there are so many people in this church family that have the gift of helps that serve us. And you watch them, and it's amazing to me. That's their first thing is, I can do that. I can help. Yes, I can give them a ride. Yes, I can take them a meal. Yes, I can help them with that. Yeah, I will stay. I will mop. I will clean. I will set up. I will help, 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 help. It's who they are. And it is, they're going to get tired. But it's a gift. It is a gift that serves the body of Christ. And I could name people, but then I would leave somebody out, and I don't want to do that. But it's, I just love that gift. Administrations, and means one who steers, directs, navigates. These are pastors, church board, ministry overseers. Those people need this gift of administration. God gives them good judgment in wisdom, and he also gives them the ability to steer and direct the body of Christ. So the men who are on our board have this gift, so they know, okay, this is where these resources are going to go to help the people within our church. Over in Romans, and we're just going to try to quick, this is a lot, we're going to try to finish these. Over in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, he lists some more gifts. It's verses 4 through 8, but we'll deal with most of those verses on part 2. Let's just go to the individual gifts. We've already talked about prophecy. Verse 7, or ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. So that word ministry, it's a little different than helps. It actually, the Greek word is the Greek word that we, or the English word we get deacon from. So it's those men who serve as deacons. So it seems to be not just helps, but it seems to be a calling, a position that they also hold within a church. So these deacons, they are certainly helping, but they're gifted beyond that in this spiritual gift of ministry in serving the body, where they are setting up, they are overseeing, they are caring for the flock in a physical way. There are also, as we see in the New Testament, deaconesses. They are women that we don't give those titles anymore. I know some churches do, but we certainly have plenty of them serving. They just don't have a title in our church. But they probably don't even know who they are. And again, I could name names, but I would leave somebody out, and I don't want to do that. But they certainly, you are gifted in that, and that is a position and a calling in their lives. Teaching is the next one, and that teaching is to read the Bible, explain the Bible, and to apply the Bible. It is not like being a school teacher. Yes, you can teach, and that, I mean, you have to get skilled and gifted in that way. But this is a supernatural ability to make God's truth clear and understandable. There are lots and lots and lots of teachers over the years that I have heard, and some of those don't have the gift of teaching. They taught technically, but it wasn't clear and easy to understand. It didn't help me. And so it probably wasn't the gift of teaching, though they could do it. So there is a supernatural ability. There is an anointing of the Holy Spirit to make God's word easy to understand, the truth come forth clear and in an understandable way. Exhortation, that is the giving and applying the truth. It can be done in teaching, but it most often is done within the body of Christ with the individuals who have this gift of exhortation. It's an urging. It's a stirring into action and obedience. It can have some correction in it, but it's an encouragement. It's those people who, you know, they can get people moving. It's not a motivator, but it's an encourager. It's stirring those people into action. I'm going to give one name because it's obvious that he has this gift, and that is Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark has, among other gifts, he has the gift of exhortation. He can come alongside, they could be walking through the parking lot, anyone, and he's right there. Come on, you can do it. Let's go. This is what God's going to do. Have faith. You know, if you've ever been around him, you know, he's a keeper. He's, you know, I tell him, you're my kid. You just, oh, I love him. But he has that wonderful gift of exhortation. We need that. We need more of that in the body of Christ. Perhaps the Lord's giving you that, and you're afraid. But we need it. We need to hear from you. We need to be encouraged. We need to be kicked in the rear if we need to be kicked in the rear to get going. Giving is another gift that he lists there, and this is monetarily, and money should be a tool. Your resources should be a tool. The gift of giving, I've seen this, and it's like amazes me, these people with the gift of giving. You don't have to be a millionaire. You can be just a regular person and have that gift. You're just a giving person. The Lord tells you, and you know, it's just a natural thing. You just naturally give. You help supply the need in somebody else's life or a ministry or something like that. It's just, I have been a receiver of that, and it blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. And I don't have time to go into it, but it was when Damien was going to Stanford, when right after he was diagnosed, there was a man that we didn't even know who was really incredible to us. But and it was like the true gift of giving, because, you know, there are people that give and then they're waiting for the thank you note or the, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, I think he moved and I don't even know where he is. It was wonderful. And not just because you got something, just to see it happen. And then to hear about how the Lord has used him in other people's lives to do incredible things. Keep people alive, things like that. Another gift is leading. That is the ability to steer and direct others. So a leader has that gifting to steer people, to direct people, to delegate, to give tasks, to assignments. They lead ministries. They lead people within the ministries, and people are following them because they recognize this person knows where they're going. They know what they're doing, and they enjoy, they're comfortable serving them because they know that this is going to happen. There are a lot of times people can be what we call leading a ministry or whatever, and everybody around them is going, I don't know what's going on. Do you know what's going on? Or, you know, whatever. Well, but when you have that gift of leading, you're not going to be perfect, obviously, but it's going to be easy to follow that person because you just, you know, just tell me what to do and I will do it. And everything's already taken care of because this leader has assigned and delegated and had it all put together. A lot of people are maintainers of a ministry, which we need that, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have the gift of leading. We use leading broadly. So you have a group leader, you have a discussion leader, you have a home fellowship leader, you have a this and that. It doesn't necessarily mean they have the gift of leading. They can do the discussion or do this ministry, but there is a difference between a leader, and I've been around people, and it's like, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this. And then other times it's like, just tell me what to do. This is great, because you know where you're going, and you have an obvious gift. The gift of mercy is next. That is compassion, kindness, and encouragement beyond the fruit of the Spirit that's supposed to be evident in our lives, that we're supposed to be growing in. It is beyond that. This person is gifted. They have a heart. They zero in on whoever the Lord points them to with great mercy and compassion, kindness. It's not just words. It is demonstrated. It is shown. It follows through. We desperately need the people with the gift of mercy. We're all supposed to be merciful, and we do, but those people who are really gifted, you really know. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he lists apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, teachers. These kind of are more of a calling, but the giftings go along with it. So I'm not even going to get into the apostles or the prophets. The evangelists, of course, we know, like Billy Graham, that guy was gifted, anointed. Greg Laurie, gifted and anointed. Few within our church also. Pastors and teachers, that position and the teaching gift that goes along with it. Lots and lots of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know we're running out of time, but I'm not going to stop. If you need to leave, you can leave. The Holy Spirit, and he's the one that gives the gifts. We can't work them up. We can't pick and choose. We can't produce. It's him. In 1 Corinthians 14:32, it tells us that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. In simple words, that means we are responsible for how we allow those gifts to be operated in our lives. The Holy Spirit doesn't take us over and you all of a sudden start speaking in tongues, or you can't help and you have to speak, or whatever it might be. No, again, it is I can control how loud my voice is when I speak out in a prophecy or a vision or something like that. I can sound like thus saith the Lord if I wanted to. I could just be me. And we control how we let those gifts out, okay? God is not the author of confusion. Chapter 14, 40 says, let everything be done decently and in order. Some of these gifts we initiate, we can do, we can teach, we can serve, we can help, we can do those things. But there are some gifts, we can speak in tongues, but there are some gifts we can't initiate. I can't initiate a word of knowledge. I can't. It's got to be given to me. Prophecy has to be given to me. A word of wisdom, they have to be given to me. Healing, miracle, you know, interpretation of tongues, those have to be given to me, and I wait on the Lord for them. So I can't work them up. He gives to each one. So whether you think you have a spiritual gift or not, you do. You have at least one, probably a couple. But in chapter 12, verse 29, he asks this question over and over again. Are all apostles, are all this, are all that? Do all speak in tongues? No, no, no. Nobody has all of them. But use the ones that you have because they're for the profit of the body. Tells us in chapter 12, verse 31, to earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire. Do you earnestly desire them? I hope you do after tonight. I hope it's kind of stirred your heart. Well, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I want to be used like that. I would like those spiritual gifts. And it says the best gifts. Well, what are the best gifts? Well, the best gifts are for whatever the need is at that time. So there's no gift number one is this and gift number two is this. It's no, what is the need? Then that would be the best gift at that time. Chapter 14, verse 1, it tells us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, that's interesting, and perhaps it's because it is a vocal gift, and it is a gift that builds up the body of Christ and stirs up the body of Christ, and it is needed more and more. Pray for your gifts. Pray to receive the gifts. Pray in faith. And don't doubt, just receive it. Discover what your gifts are. Have someone help you identify them. If you don't know, I mean, ask somebody who's further along in faith. Ask somebody who's serving with you, somebody who knows you. Do you see any spiritual gift in my life? What is that? And then the person can tell you, then can you believe them? Can you say, Lord, is that really right? Don't doubt. God doesn't want us doubting anything. So can we just receive and believe? It's not a pride thing. You know, I've told you some of my gifts. And I'm assuming because of the place he's put me in as a pastor's wife and I'm teaching and leading women's ministry, I got to have the gift of leading. I got to have the gift of teaching. I got to have these things or I wouldn't be standing here. So I don't take any credit for that. So your gifts, you're not going to puff yourself up. Well, yes, I have. Well, if you do, we'll let you know. The gift of exhortation will come in and put you in your place. But, you know, this is God doing this. It's like, you gave me this? I'm not going to put in a little napkin. I'm not going to hide it. Like I did with the prayer language for so long. No, shame on me. I'm going to use that. So I'm going to end with this, and then for those of you who want to stay and ask questions, you can. This is that illustration. Damien has shared it over and over again, but it's a great little illustration of kind of knowing it's not a foolproof, it's an illustration. Illustrations break down all the time. So you're at a friend's house. She has a 4-year-old daughter. Okay, and this 4-year-old daughter walks into the room where you are seated. And of course, there's other people there, and she's a little teary-eyed. And she's carrying a tray with some pink lemonade in a glass pitcher and glass, very thin crystal goblets. And she's a 4-year-old. Now, when I hear illustrations like this, my mind goes, why are you asking a 4-year-old to do this? I mean, this is, no mother is going to ask, the whole thing. So I got to go, okay, stop being logical and listen to the illustration. So here she is with her little tray. And then the mother had put one of those, area rugs on top of the carpet, real thick one. And so this little cute little 4-year-old with her little pretty dress and her little tray trips. Everything breaks because beyond the carpet, I have to throw this in, is tile that breaks everything. The carpet stained, she's a mess, she's crying, all of that, okay? So you look at that and you think, what would my initial reaction be? What would I do in a situation like that? Now, again, me, I have to say, shut up and put yourself aside because I would get up and get a towel because it's going to stain everything. That is not my spiritual gift. That is me being clean and picky. So I already know this about myself. So if you're like that, get yourself in the gift mindset. How are you going to react? So somebody with a word of knowledge. Now, some of these are pretty silly. A word of knowledge would say, you were crying. You were so upset because you were looking for your apron. And you couldn't find your apron. And that's why you were upset, and so you were distracted, and then you came in, and then you tripped. But don't worry about that, because your dress isn't going to stain. Lame, I know, illustration, but I don't do well with illustrations. So this was pretty good. Prophecy. You fell, but God is a God of second chances. And he wants you to get up and do it again. You will do better next time. Helps, that's the obvious one. Oh, let me help you. Let me pick all this up and clean this up and dust you off and all that. That's that's what the helper is going to do. The teacher, let me show you how to carry that tray because I watched what you did and I want to just help you out here because tray 101 is, the two-hand, and so the teacher's going to demonstrate and going to show how to carry the tray. Exhortation, don't give up. Come on. Get in there. Do it again. Come on. You can do it. Yes, Pastor Mark, we can do it. Leading. Okay, the leader is scanning. Okay. Listen, you're going to pick up the tray, you're going to go get the towel. I'm leading, I'm delegating, I'm assigning tasks, I'm getting everything situated. So it's all decently in an order. That's the leader. Administration, they're evaluating the whole room layout. This throw carpet is not a good idea in here. That's too thick. We've got to pull that out. Maybe even remove the carpet. They've got to get that. Mercy, what is the person with mercy? They see nothing. But that little girl and her little heart, they are kneeling in broken glass because they're consoling her. They have compassion and kindness. Those people blow me away. They are oblivious to everything else, but they care about the little feelings, Giving. Look, I know you don't have the money to pay for this. I'm going to pay for all these broken things. I'm going to buy you a new dress. We're going to go out and get ice cream. It's that giving heart. Pay the cleaning bill. And then, of course, gift of miracles. Everything goes in reverse. You want a miracle, that's going to be a miracle, right? Okay, so I know that's kind of lame, but it is helpful in some ways because you just think, okay, what would I do? Would I be cleaning up? Would I be, of course I care about that little girl and I would say, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But I know me, I would say, look, you are not helping here. You need to go over here and help and you need to get the dust. I'm leading. I'm leading and removing the carpet and doing all of those things, because that's kind of what I would do. What would you do? You know, think about that. And then you take that gift in real life, and then next time we meet, we're going to talk about how that practically works in the body of Christ. So that's on August 15th. So I'm going to pray, and then whoever needs to leave can leave, and then if you want to ask questions, you can. Father, I pray that you would take all of this information, so much in your word that this could have been multiple sessions to go over this. And Lord, I pray that you would take these illustrations and the things that were shared, that you, Holy Spirit of the teacher, that you would give understanding and wisdom and knowledge and everything and application, Lord, and that the hearts would be open and just willing to be used and want to be desirous, not just open, but a real desire to step out in these gifts that you've given. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I heard Trinity behind me.